With Metro by T-Mobile, your hard-earned money goes further. This tax season, there's zero fees to switch. Enjoy Metro's lowest price. Just $25 a line for 4 lines. Plus, get 4 free Samsung Galaxy phones when you switch. Now that's the best deal in wireless. Metro by T-Mobile, empowering you to rule your day. All lines lose promo rate if any deactivates. No fees on select phones. Limit 1 per line with eligible port. Excludes sales tax. Limited time offer. Additional terms apply. See metrobytmobile.com.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Hoop. There it is here. I did this earlier today with the takes on stakes. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Hoop. There it is on Shooting the Sports Dish. I'm Tony. Next to me is Cam. We have an intro video. This was a weird cold open. Hold on. All right, boys and girls, we are back here. Been a long time since Cam and I have done any episode together since toward the beginning of the NBA season.
Yeah, I feel like it was 5 games in or something was the last time we got to sit here and hang out.
Yeah, it's not you, it's me.
Oh, wow. All right.
It's my fault here. Like, I know what it is.
You going Costanza on me? Is that where we are?
I don't know.
Me the George line?
Let's talk about... let's talk about NBA basketball. I don't know how I feel about this season. Like, there's obviously some interesting things going on. If you look at the top of the standings here, we'll start with the Eastern Conference. You and I were so confident in our preseason episode that the Eastern Conference was going to be this highly competitive conference. And, you know, it is.
Yeah.
But it's not competitive in the way that I thought it was. I really don't think anyone besides the Sixers and the Nets are that good, which makes sense. The Sixers are the number one seed in the East. Is that shocking? Maybe, but Doc Rivers is kind of a good coach. So, wow.
He sort of knows what he's doing. I think the only interesting thing about the East is the depth of it as far as the conversation goes.
Yeah.
Because 4 through 12 are 2.5 games apart.
Right.
So that's the big conversation is like, it's going to be a mad dash to the 8 seed,
right.
For everybody. And right. that's where life is going to get fun, I think, because Orlando is the 12th best team in the East with a very legitimate chance of still getting in the playoffs with the way that they're playing.
Yeah, 12th seed in the East at 12-18. You know, it's obviously very different than – I mean, no, they're like basically the same as the West, which we'll get to later.
Well, like the Knicks right now are the 8 seed, Charlotte's the 7 seed. Like, what year are we in? What decade is this?
It's pretty crazy to see what LaMelo Ball. It is. The Hornets got themselves a big win tonight against a Warriors team that's pretty good. They beat the Warriors. Draymond got double teed and tossed, and then Scary Terry hits 2 free throws and hits a game winner. So the Hornets are looking pretty good. LaMelo Ball is going to run away with Rookie of the Year. Despite the fact that Anthony Davis got the most amazing 0 of 7 dunk of all time, 0 of 7 from 3 dunk of all time. Like, those are the best 2 points out of a 7-point performance I think we'll ever see. But the Anthony Edwards dunk was absolutely fantastic. The Nets look pretty good. The Sixers look pretty good.
Anybody who's like, the Anthony Edwards dunk was great, but it's like, just stop. the dunk was awesome. Nobody is saying Anthony Edwards' dunk was incredible. He's amazing. It's just like Anthony Edwards took a grown man's soul on that.
He
dunk.
Did. He did.
He Shang Tsung that man. He just sure took it. Right. I'm hyped. The new Mortal Kombat trailer just dropped. Okay.
I'm excited.
I'm going to make a lot of Mortal Kombat references up until this movie comes out. He took a man's soul. And that's all we're saying. That guy no longer lives the way he wants to. He lives because Anthony Edwards allows him.
Well, let's talk about these top four teams here. I think I don't think it's much of a surprise that your top four teams are the Sixers, the Nets, the Bucks, and the Celtics. I don't think it's a surprise that it's in that order either. The thing that's concerning, that's confusing to me, though, is that I don't know. I guess it's not that confusing. I think the Celtics are a bit disappointing, maybe.
The Celtics are disappointing, and the Celtics are. For me, the biggest and most weird storyline in the East right now is just the Heat, right? They they pull one out from LA tonight.
Yeah.
Somehow the Lakers are playing defense and then end up with the ball with the shot to win the game. Oh. But you know, Miami withstands that, but this is still a weird time for this Miami team. And as far as the top four seeds go, Budenholzer's got some stuff to figure out, man. Like Boone has some stuff going on in Milwaukee right now that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Like his game management, his time management, his rotations are just weird. And I don't know if he's like, we're going to be a top four seed, so why not just play with stuff in the middle of the season to not give them the look that we don't want to give away in the playoffs. If that's the case, I kind of get it. You're at the point now where you're the head coach of the Milwaukee Bucks. You are expected to be a 3 or 4 seed because you have Giannis, and you're going to be. So it's like we can afford to take some games, not off, but we can afford to not show everything that we need to along the regular season. So maybe that's part of it. But there's a lot of question marks in Milwaukee right now with the way they're playing, and it's showing with Giannis's play, which we have talked about a handful of times in our DM that will never get exposed, but it has come up in conversation.
See, and like the thing is, I am not a big fan of Giannis, which I'm not afraid of saying. I think Giannis's game is so incredibly it's so one dimensional, and that one dimensional game that he has, I think, limits them quite a bit. They haven't played with Drew Holiday. The Bucks haven't in a few games. They lost 5 of their last 6 games, 5 straight, before finally getting off the snide last night and winning again. And they won, but they still only put up 98 points. They held the Thunder to 85, which is great, but they lost back-to-back games to the Raptors, who didn't have Kyle Lowry. Now, mind you, let's not discount the Raptors. The Raptors are playing absolutely outstanding basketball right now. So losing to them isn't really necessarily what's bad. But with the Bucks, with the back-to-back MVP, with a team that was the one seed or was a top 2 seed 2 years in a row, you don't expect to see them lose back-to-back games to the Raptors after losing to the Thunder. And then before they lost back-to-back games to the Jazz and the Suns. We can't criticize the Bucks for losing to the Jazz and the Suns, because the Suns and the Jazz are playing they're 2 of the 3 hottest teams, and they're 2 of the 4 hottest teams in the league right now. But there's something up with the Bucks. Like they're all like, when the offense gets like stuck, because every team gets into the situation where there's like your standstill, and then they get into where it's ISO ball with Giannis, and Giannis, you know, running fullback dive to the rim is great and all, but there are bigs in the league now that can make it hard for him. And if he goes to the free throw line, guess what? He shoots like 55% from the line. He's a fucking terrible free throw shooter. Who else gets the bucket?
Yeah, so it's really interesting. From 2016 is about the time people figured out Giannis was going to be a factor in the NBA. Maybe not a problem, but in 16 we figured out he was going to be a factor.
Sure.
Here's some stats for you. So since 2016, these are 3-point percentages, so I'm just going to rope them off. So since the 16-17 season, 27, 30, 25, 30, 27. Here's his free throw average. Same 2016 on. I'm just going to rope him off for you. 77, 76, 72, 63, 64. Now, last year was weird. Shortened season. It is what it is. But he's not made the leap in either of those two categories that he needs to. Giannis, if Giannis wanted to be, If Giannis could become a 3-point shooter in the 30, 35 range, 34, 36, Giannis could easily run away as the best player in the league right now. But it's just not, he's not getting there, and he's not showing that the other scary thing. So it's two parts to that, right? If you look at it as a coach, he's not where I need him to be, and he's not trending the way. He's not even trending upwards that way. We're going the opposite way from the free throw line where nobody's guarding us, right? We're going the other direction. So that's a problem in and of itself. But just from
that's my biggest problem with Giannis, that I can't rely on him to make those free throws when they really need those points.
Yes, and that is why it's a lot of people make the a lot of people say that the Bucks will only go as far as Giannis and it'll never be anywhere that is the homeland, because you can't rely on him to get it done in the big moment if they get to that big moment. And I think there's a lot to that. I think there's some merit in that statement, 100%. He can say he's in the gym working, and I believe him, but we're at a point now where I have enough data. He's not getting better at his three-point shot. He's fluctuating at a number that is ugly for somebody that's supposed to be an elite talent, and he's going the other direction from the free throw line.
And it's crazy, too, that like now, like we say these things, and if you're listening to this podcast and you're thinking, hey, dumbasses, he's third in the league in player efficiency rating. And sure, yes, he is. That's not saying that Giannis isn't one of the best five players in the league, because duh.
Not at all.
But the problem is that like he stuffs the stat sheet, right? He's top 10 in points, 28 points a game. He's top 10 in rebounds, 11.7 points a game. He's top 25 in assists, 6 assists a game, which you love to see that. That's not a number I expect to see from him. He is getting the ball out. He does need help. Like that's like he did not get the help that we thought he would. He also hasn't played with Drew Holiday. And that's fine. But the thing is, he is making like 40 something million dollars a year. I think it is after this year, 27 million right now. And so with him making that kind of money, you can't miss free throws. Like against the Raptors the other night, there were so many times that he was missing free throws that really could have changed the game. And they only lost, I think they lost by like 10 points to the Raptors the other night, 11 points to the Raptors. And he gets to the line so much. Now, like, the three-point percentage doesn't bother me. 27.6% from the three, whatever, dude. Like, if you are a fullback, dive to the rim. That is your game, is diving to the rim. Make your free throws. Because Shaq would be a problem in the league today, because it would make free throws because there's too many points scored.
I agree with that. I think I probably look at the three-point percentage maybe a little bit differently than you, but
sure.
At the end of the day, he's got to knock down his free throws. Now, he's been trending upward in rebounds since 2016, and he's been trending upward in points, and he's been
one of the best rebounders in the league, no doubt.
And he's been trending upward in player efficiency. So, like, Giannis is still, like you said, top five. Like, we're not really – I know Dylan showed up, and, like, we're not really burying Giannis. It's more so just like when people criticize LeBron, or when there was the Kobe criticism, or when there is the Murray criticism, or when there's the Chris Paul criticism, or the James Harden criticism, or the Steph Curry criticism, it is because these players have to show that they're progressing in the proper areas.
Sure.
And right now he's just not showing progression in areas that are very important. That's the only thing.
Dylan says he didn't think we were burying him. He's just having a laugh. The 76ers, however, are 20-10. We'll talk about another big man who's playing very differently in a way that you said this last night, I think in our group message, is what you said, that for your money, that Joel Embiid is the best player, best center in the league, and you said it's not close. This man is averaging 30.5 points a game, second in the league behind Damian Lillard. He is 10th in rebounds at 11 rebounds a game. 32.32 player efficiency rating, the most efficient player in the league. That is actually just a teeter match. It's a seesaw between him and Nikola Jokic. Mm-hmm. We saw 50 points and 17 rebounds last night in a game against a sneaky Bulls team. And that sneaky, sneaky Bulls team 100% could have knocked them off. But what happened? Bulls take the lead. Embiid takes over because this man looks like the man that everybody was terrified of in Kansas. Before the injury, before the trust the process, before all of this stuff, I am so happy that Embiid is getting to play for Doc Rivers, and we get to see this man show why he was absolutely one of the best prospects that we've seen in the draft in a long time. Embiid is the damn man, and he should be the leader in the MVP. It's a disgrace that LeBron's over him.
Yeah, I think, and I'm sure we'll get to the MVP talking a little bit. So I've always said that, and that has been kind of my crutch, I think, is I believe that when everybody is healthy in the league, Joel Embiid is the best big man in the league.
Yeah.
Because I think he can just do and the two biggest arguments that I come across are Nikola Jokic as of late, and before that is Anthony Davis.
Right.
Both valid arguments. I cannot disagree with them. It's just for me. I think Joel Embiid is able to do things that Anthony Davis and Nikola Jokic can't. And I think he can do those things at a very high level. And he can take over games in a dominant fashion that I think a lot of people just miss from a center. I think some people just kind of miss that back to the basket kind of stuff. But what Jokic has been able to do, I mean, this was a guy that averaged 23 points a game last season. He's averaging 30 now. That's a massive jump. And right. and it goes back to what you said, Doc Rivers and his system, he has shown Doc Rivers got DeAndre Jordan paid with the Clippers.
Yep.
Like it is time over time. We can go back to Doc Rivers being able to take the big man that's on his roster and highlight him to make him look really, really good. That is imprinted and embedded in the Doc Rivers system in the way of life
sure.
as a basketball coach. And I so thoroughly enjoy watching Joel Embiid, and a big man that can hit 80% from the line and has done it in the last 3 years, including this one.
Yes, 88% from the free throw. Listen to these free throw percentages, just to put in perspective why I trust him more than Giannis. 88% for these the last nine, last all February. Let's just go February. 88% from the line, 83% from the line, 90, 73, 93, 86, 100, 90. His low is Giannis's average from the free throw line. And that is why his team is sitting there at the top of the Eastern Conference right now. Now, mind you, the Nets are probably going to end up overtaking them at some point because the Nets are playing God tier offense.
Sure.
But just seeing what we're seeing from Embiid is ridiculous. In February alone, he's shooting 55% from the floor. He's averaging 35 points, 11 rebounds, 4 assists, a block and a half, a steal and a half. Only 2.5 fouls a game, too. That's the crazy thing, and 4 turnovers.
Yeah.
And we're seeing this man also shoot 40% from the three-point line. I mean, this is unreal basketball from the big man position.
Absolutely. And the fun thing is you can look at the three-point thing because I think he's only averaging like 3 three-point attempts a game, or it's somewhere around 3, I think,
sure.
for the year. And again, a low volume of shots and that high of a percentage means you're taking the right shots. If you're only taking 3 shots a game, but you're averaging 40% over the season so far, that means you're taking the right shots at the right time. Everything is in rhythm and you feel good in the spot that you're standing in with the ball coming off your hand. And that's the best you can do as a shooter looking to knock down a 3 to extend the defense is just be in the right position and have everything feel good with the ball coming off your hands and just let everything else kind of work itself into play.
And they're playing insanely well too. The Sixers in general, they're 12-3 in their last 15 games, which is outrageous. They had a massive win streak of, it was 8 straight games. And then, you know, over the last 9, you know, not so great, 4-3 over the last 7 games, but they're still playing very good basketball. Embiid is playing out of his mind. We have to talk about the fighting James Hardens. We can't talk about the Eastern Conference without talking about the Nets. The Nets will probably be the best offensive team we've seen maybe ever. I mean, this is like 7 seconds or less Suns offense we're seeing from these guys right now. No game total is safe. Every over is in play. But they're red hot right now, man. They've won 5 straight games in a row against the Lakers, against the Suns, the Pacers, the Warriors, and the Kings. So that's 4 playoff teams they've beaten out of their last 5. So this is not like they're losing to nobodies kind of thing. I hate to admit it because I just can't stand all 3 of their stars. I just don't like them. I just don't care for them. But they're playing good basketball, and it doesn't even matter who's there. The key is James Harden here. James Harden is a facilitator, and that is terrifying because he's a great passer.
Yes. Oh, I mean, yeah, he's leading the team in assists, and it's not even close.
He's going to lead the league in assists by the end of the season at this rate.
Absolutely, yeah. He's doubled the second place person in assists on the Nets.
I think 12 assists a game. He's averaging 12 assists a game, man. That is... Yeah. Wild, 25-12.
Yeah, I mean it's absolutely nuts. I think Kyrie's second at like 5.6, and
well, that
and,
makes sense.
Yeah, and Harden is at 12. Yes, this team will. it's hard to say. They'll at least be number one in the East, I think, because I think they're going to get on these just gnarly rolls of, like you said, the over is no longer safe. This right. is this is pinnacle Big 12 football as far as the overs go. This sure is this is the sweet spot of Big 12 football with the overs.
Yeah, sure
just,
yeah.
You don't even look at the number. You just put two units on the over, and you don't even look at the number. You don't even care. Yeah.
No, that's exactly how I am. I bet every over with the Nets because they're always in play.
Yeah, their overs are nuts. I think that this three, if we're going into the big three categories now,
yeah,
I think this three will be the most offensively scary three.
Sure.
I think the three in Golden State are still the better three. Gotcha. I think the best big three that in my lifetime, right? Let's just go with that. Yeah. Is Curry and Clay and Durant. I think that's the best three. I think Harden, Durant, and Kyrie are the best offensive three. They're the best scoring three. Because those are three very terrifying individuals to put on the sure. court at any given sure, time, sure. including when all three of them are on the court at the same time to close out a game. That's just stupid. Yep. It's video game numbers, what they're putting up.
It is. It's crazy because they're averaging 121 points a game, best offense in the league, third worst defense in the league at 170 points a game. I don't think they'll make it. Again, we're about a third of the way of the season into the season now. Now we're at a point now, which is also better if we start doing this podcast more often, is now we're at a rate where like every week it does matter now. Mm. Now we're talking about guys where it really does make a difference. Who's playing, like we can tell kind of who's going to be there at the end, who's going to be a big play. We know the Sixers, the Nets, the Bucks are almost assuredly going to be the teams that they're almost assuredly going to be the teams that are playing for the Eastern Conference NBA Finals berth. And we know that in the West, we don't know anything, which is the Western Conference every single year since you and I were in high school, like freshmen in high school, because we're the same age, right? Like a year or two apart.
Yeah.
Old yep. enough to where, like, you know, we saw Steve Nash's back-to-back MVPs and back-to-back first seeds just to lose to the Suns. Yep. You just never know with the Western Conference.
Yep.
I don't think there's any other thing we need to talk about with the East. It's really a three-team league right now. I don't think the Celtics are going to be good enough. They should be, but something's holding them back. We don't know enough yet to talk about it.
Yeah, I think I'm trying to think. We see 5 through 8 right now as Indiana, Toronto, Charlotte, and the Knicks. And yeah. those are just very interesting teams. I think right now, if the season ended today, Brooklyn would match up with Charlotte, which I think would be a fun series. I think it'd be over quick, but I think it'd be fun because Charlotte has kind of been the thorn in their side, or LaMelo has anyways, for the couple of times that they've played each other. Again, I'm not sitting here saying that there's an upset brewing, but it'd be a fun 5 games.
Sure.
Right? Gentlemen sweep. It'd be a fun 5 games.
Oh, let's talk real quick about the Nets. The Knicks. The Knicks are 14 yeah. and 16. Looks like they are going to be – it's going to be fun watching Julius Randle and Zach LaVine and see which one of those two guys is able to just heart their way into the eighth seed.
Mm.
But the Knicks look good, man, and they've got some young talent. Julius Randle looks like the guy they thought he was going to be out of Kentucky finally. It took him a while to get there, but he looks awesome.
Yep.
And Mitchell Robinson looks good, and Emmanuel Quickley he should get more love than he does as a rookie, but unfortunately he's in a class with LaMelo Ball, and so no one's going to talk about him for 3 years.
Yeah. Yeah. Quickley playing super well. Who knew if you gave a nucleus of young talent to Tom Thibodeau that something good would happen, right? Like right. nobody saw that coming.
We've never seen it before, ever.
Never in life. I don't even know how people would have assumed that. Picking up Derrick Rose, there's no coach that's ever been more loyal to a player than Tibbs is to Derrick Rose. There's nope. it's never happened this way, which I thoroughly enjoy. So you add a veteran guy like Rose. He's still got some hops. He's playing with younger talent, good mentor, good guy in the locker room. Can yep. still put in work on the court too, so that helps. But yeah, I just love what Randall's doing, man. 23, 10, and 6, I think, right now. For the season, his PR is almost 21, yep. which is a career high for him. Really finding his rhythm at 26, so he's going to get another major contract as well.
Yep.
Just really, I'm really excited to see the Knicks playing well and turning around, especially so young. because everybody, you know, was like, oh, well, they're not going to be able to attract a big star, so it's going to be another tank season for the Knicks. Turns out they just needed some young guys with good direction, and Tibbs is the guy to do it.
Yeah, it's nice to see. Let's talk about the Western Conference. The Western Conference is full of a bunch of teams that are red hot right now. Three of them in particular, the Utah Jazz, who finally saw their 8-game win streak lose last night, get snapped last night, which is pretty crazy because honestly, I actually thought that they would beat the Clippers, but of course, all of a sudden, Paul George and Kawhi Leonard are both, they happen to be healthy when they are playing the number one team in the NBA right now. Funny how that works with those bums. I mean, Cam, am I wrong? Does that not always happen with those two?
It does seem to be a pattern.
A little bit of a theme. Yeah, it's going to be interesting for sure to see the rest of this, you know, what happens with the Clippers. And we'll talk about, we don't need to talk about the Clippers. We know what the Clippers are. What's awesome though, is the Phoenix Suns, who were the hottest team in the bubble, went 8-0 in the bubble and just did not make the playoffs, just barely. Yep. And the Suns and the Blazers were fighting for playoff spots. And now they look like they're going to pretty easily make the playoffs. The Suns have won like 8 out of their last 10 games. They won again tonight, so make that like 9 of their last 10. The Blazers are on the ropes against the Wizards, which is crazy, but the Wizards are starting to play good ball. They are red hot too, 6 games in a row. It makes me very happy and excited to see the Jazz with Jordan Clarkson, who's the best sixth man in the league right now. Donovan Mitchell, who's outstanding. Rudy Gobert, who is so good at defense, he shut down the entire NBA for like 7 months. Mm-hmm. Just seeing those three teams is really awesome to me. See how good they are. The obviously the LA teams are going to be there, but sure. The Jazz, the Suns, and the Trailblazers blow my mind. They're very good teams.
Yes, yeah. I didn't think that Portland was going to be this competitive.
No, I thought they'd be an 8 seed.
Yeah, I really did too. Phoenix, I mean, just seeing Phoenix being able to do what they are right now. You add a guy like Chris Paul, who knew that adding a veteran guy like that would get you exactly what you were looking for.
Right.
Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton are statistically having the best shooting seasons of their career so far. Mm-hmm. Shocking. Their efficiency is the highest efficiency rating they've had in their career so far. Shocking. Paul is still playing like a maniac at 57 years old or however old he is. Like, he just doesn't age. He's playing 32 minutes a game still right now, which is absolutely crazy. I love that. I just like that the Suns are back in the mix. Some news broke, I believe. I mean, not news. Luka and Dame tied in all-star votes. Yep. And they're starting Luka over Dame.
Yep.
And there's some controversy.
We'll talk about the all-star starters.
Luka actually said that he thinks Dame should be starting over him.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a fan of Luka, and I think that as well.
Yeah, sure. Everybody. Damian Lillard had a spike in MVP ratings. After their win two nights ago, he popped to like a 20-1 favorite, but he made like a big leap in Vegas.
Yeah, last I looked, it still shows LeBron and I want to say LeBron and Jokic are the top two. It's LeBron and Embiid, maybe.
Yeah, I think it's Embiid is the favorite. Or LeBron's the favorite, Embiid's second, I think, or something.
It's something like that. Yeah. The Western Conference is really interesting. The Nuggets, there's some interesting stuff here with the Nuggets and the Mavericks. The Mavericks are just really, I don't know. I don't know if they're a good team or a bad team. I don't think they know if they're a good team or a bad team. I think they're good offensively. They're terrible defensively. They made moves to get better defensively, and that has not come to fruition. They've also had really bad injury and COVID issues, too. They had 3 weeks without Tim Hardaway or Josh Richardson. Jalen Brunson was out for a while. So it's just tough. COVID has had a hand in the Mavericks for sure. Not a lot of teams here. The Pelicans are a story because Vegas loves the Pelicans, but you know who also loves the Pelicans? The people they play.
Yes.
Because they can't play defense, and like they're not bad, but they kind of are.
Yeah.
Brandon Ingram rules. Zion Williamson's pretty good.
Yeah. New Orleans was the team that I think everybody really wanted to see make that leap.
And I didn't think they would.
Sad that they're not making it.
Yeah, it's year two though with the Zion and Brandon Ingram together and Lonzo. I think sure. Year three is where the leap's going to happen. I think they're fine. I think they're playing about where they need to in year two.
Yeah, I think so too. I think there's a lot to be worrisome sure. of if you're a Pelicans fan. I think the fact that Lonzo has been in trade rumors since the season started is not helping anybody's case.
No.
That's that, especially for a young nucleus. I don't think that's ideal, but I'm with you in the sense of like, yeah, this is probably going to be a slow burn for the next couple of years with that nucleus. And we just have to give it time. I think everybody was just excited for the leap.
Yeah.
We just kind of let that overtake the reality. I think,
you know, what the most interesting story to me in the NBA is,
what is that?
How in the hell are the San Antonio Spurs 16-11 with a bunch of players that nobody talks about? Greg Popovich is that freaking dude, man.
Yes.
Like, it is crazy. They have an ancient Rudy Gay, an ancient LaMarcus Aldridge.
Yeah.
They do have DeMar DeRozan, who's also older. I mean, you got a bunch of 30-year-olds on this team.
Yeah.
But then you do have Dejounte Murray, Patty Mills, who's 32 also. So you really just have one dude that's actually pretty good for them, which is Dejounte Murray. I never know. DeJounte. Murray.
Yeah.
Dejounte Murray out of Washington, who's 24. But somehow, some way, this team that doesn't have the talent really that should be competing with these Western Conference teams, they're 16-11. They're playing good offense. They're not playing great defense. Nobody is right now.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting.
It's so weird. It's Pop, man. It doesn't really matter. It's just Pop. If Pop,
right.
If Popovich is patrolling that sidelines, they're going to make the playoffs, right? That's just kind of percentages tell you that's what's going to happen. But yeah, the fact that they are an established top six seed right now with, you know, the Nuggets are seventh. They're a seven seed right now. They're ahead of the Nuggets. I think if I would have given you odds that the Spurs were ranked ahead of the Nuggets 20 games in, I think you'd have lost some money.
Yep.
I think we all would have lost a lot of money on that.
You know, yes. And it's crazy because Jokic is the second most efficient player in the league. You could argue it's him and Embiid are the two best players in the league right now, as far as how they're playing, not talent wise. Don't come after me telling me that LeBron's the best player in the league. Yes, he is. Yeah. You're right. Kevin Durant's better than those two also, but they're not playing better than Jokic and Embiid, and that's okay.
Yeah.
There's a lot of season left, like 40 games left. Actually, we're almost halfway through. Let's talk about real quick here. The Miami Heat and the Los Angeles Lakers had their rematch tonight. The Lakers, I want to start with the Lakers because I'm going to tell you, man, I know the Lakers were winning a bunch of games before Anthony Davis went down.
Yeah.
They don't look real good.
No.
Anthony Davis is not playing good basketball right now at all. He's also not playing at all right now because he's injured.
Yeah.
But, you know, Dennis Schroeder has come in, played okay. He's having a quarantine for 7 days, so we're going to see them lose a lot of games. But I really started worrying about them on that streak where they had to go to a bunch of overtime games. They did beat up on the Nuggets, which happens with the Nuggets, unfortunately, because they don't play defense. But then they have to go to overtime, double overtime against the Pistons, overtime against the Thunder. I think they went to overtime again against the Thunder. Yeah. And then they struggle with the Grizzlies and beat them by 10 finally. Nuggets, they get pummeled after Anthony Davis goes down. And then they looked terrible against the Nets and really bad against the Heat too.
Yeah, I think, in three games they played in four total overtimes? I think in three games.
Yes, oh my God.
Not ideal as far as just locking down games. It's the productivity that you thought you were going to get from guys like THT and you thought you were going to get from Caruso and KCP. I think it's, I don't know. Marcus Saul's not really doing much for them.
I didn't expect him to, but I'm sure they expected him to.
I didn't either. The Rockets just released Cousins today. I don't know if Cousins goes back to the Lakers because the last time he was there, he got hurt, so he couldn't play.
Rumors were they wanted him.
And they did want him. I think that DeMarcus wants to make his own stamp, so I don't know if going to the Lakers and playing potentially behind Marcus Gasol, who's averaging 4 and 4 for 20 minutes a game, I don't think is really something that's ideal. Sure. But yeah, you look at these guys and you're like, they're just kind of waiting for the playoffs to get there.
Yeah, it does seem like that with the Lakers.
LeBron teams do that because they're 22 and 9, 22 and right. 10 after tonight's game. But I don't know. They are playing. They are very tired right now. They're a very tired team. But yeah, they're just getting beat, which isn't. That's not encouraging when you run the gamut of these playoff teams or fringe playoff teams that you can't put away. You know, there's some question mark. There have to be some red lights that pop up there and some red flags that pop up if that's going on. I'm not worried about it, but sure, there are some things that probably have to be addressed there. Absolutely.
They are one of the best defensive teams in the league. I think they are the best defensive team. No, they're the second best defensive team in the league. The best defensive team in the league is the New York Knicks. So there you go. They're the best defensive team in the West. So that they have that going for them. They did lose to Miami tonight. Miami, man, Miami weird. Probably should have made that move for Harden.
I disagree. Because there's no locker room or environment on Earth, or however many Earths you believe exist, where Jimmy Butler and James Harden could get along. There's no chance. Mm-hmm. Jimmy Butler would knock James Harden out. And I feel very confident in uttering that statement out loud while it's being recorded. I think those two would get in a fight, and I'm absolutely putting my money, all of it, on Jimmy Butler. I'm mortgaging your house and putting it all on Jimmy Butler. I don't think they don't make sense together.
Sure.
And so when you say you want him to make that move, okay, well, who do you have to give up? You'd have to give up Hero. It'd have to be Duncan Robinson. They're going to fight tooth and nail for Bam. They're probably not going to get him. Yeah. They'd fight for him. You know, so you go, okay, well, we won't give you Bam, but we'll give you blank and blank and blank. And, you know, it's how many ands can you get in replace of Bam Adebayo? And I think at some point it's just not worth it. That what they're trying to do and build isn't worth giving up the nucleus for a run with James Harden that is ultimately not going to get you anywhere. Because I've always said that I think James Harden can be the third best player in a championship winning team. And I think we're going to see it this year. If it's going to happen, I think it's going to be this year. And I think Harden's probably going to be the second or third best player on that team if that happens.
Sure.
If Harden's the first best player on that team, they lose before the Eastern Conference Finals. I know, as a Rockets fan, I've got data. but I'm glad that they didn't make the move, because you just don't know what you have to give up, and you don't know what you're going to get back, especially for Harden. And there are other people that were like, trade for Bradley Beal. It was like, why?
What bums me out about the way the Heat have played this year, though, is that, you know, they make all the jokes about Mickey Mouse bubble, blah, blah, blah. Bubble wasn't real. And it kills me because it's delegitimizing, and it shouldn't. It doesn't to me, but it does to casual fans that were skeptical of the bubble in general.
Yeah.
About what Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo did in Orlando, going into the NBA Finals. And it takes away from just how much heart Jimmy Butler had in that run. I mean, Jimmy, he was playing out of his damn mind. Bam was the best player in the playoffs at one point last year before they got to the finals. Then it was obviously LeBron and AD.
Yeah.
And it sucks because I don't think that the Miami Heat are going to be able to figure it out to get into the playoffs. I think they're going to end up missing the playoffs. I just don't think they're good enough. I think Jimmy Butler and like somehow these pieces that worked really well together last season, just like 5 months ago, don't work together right now. And I don't really understand why. Like I don't know what their identity is. They're a decent defensive team, but they struggle to score. They also get up big on players, and there's like three straight games that they were up by double digits and end up losing. Yeah. Like it, like I live bet them. I saw them up by 10 or whatever it was and was like, cool, they're going to lose this game. And that has happened. They finally put away the Lakers tonight after being up double digits, but they even almost let that slip away. So like they can't play with a lead. And I don't understand why a team that made a deep playoff run is struggling to put teams away all of a sudden.
Yeah, it's this Heat team is so strange. And I agree with you. Like anybody that calls any of the titles a Mickey Mouse title is like, that's a stupid statement to make, right? I'm not saying they're stupid. I'm saying the statement that they're making is stupid. But that is a very ignorant and dumb statement. So like, if you make it, whatever, but just know I'm judging you outwardly. But the Heat are interesting because they're averaging the fourth least amount of points per game in the East, but they're also giving up the second least amount. Right.
Yeah,
so
right,
like
right, right.
One of the worst offensive teams in the second best fantastic defensive team in the East. And so it is weird. And I think it's going to click. And the reason why I say is because the teams that are below them are Atlanta and Orlando. No, thank you. And the three teams that are above them are Chicago, the Knicks, and Charlotte. Chicago has Zach LaVine, which is kind of like a false one, right? Like, I know soccer has the false nine title. Well, I'm dubbing this the false one.
Yeah.
Zach LaVine is not a guy that can lead a team to any depth of the playoffs, I don't think. I don't know if I necessarily trust Chicago as a whole to make the run to the playoffs.
Sure.
It's still the Knicks, and they're a young team. They're playing very well, and I want them to make the playoffs, but it's still the Knicks. They still don't have a closer. We're learning about Randall. I'll say that. We are learning about Randall.
Yeah.
We're in the process of learning where Randall is on that totem pole. And then the team above New York is Charlotte. Again, playing good. A good roster. A roster that should make the playoffs, but should and will are two very different things.
That's very true, yes.
I still think that this Heat team sneaks into the playoffs. I still think they become – they're four games away from being the three seed. So, you know what I mean? Like, they're not out of it. They're four games away from being a top three seed. I don't think they will be, but I think they make the playoffs. And I would venture to say that if I'm Philly or Brooklyn and I'm in the first round looking at the Heat, I'm worried. Because if they figure out that rhythm, I think that's a very scary team to stand in front of when they finally wake up.
Sure. That's fair. Speaking of players that woke up, remember how I said at the beginning of the game that Damian Lillard had like 6 points at halftime?
Yeah.
He has 29.
Sure.
He had 23 in the third quarter.
That's what it's called on brand.
Yeah, it's called I think that's what it is, right? Dame time. Regular season though. We'll talk playoffs, maybe not. I don't understand for the life of me why Bradley Beal dropping 33 and Damian Lillard dropping 29 is not on a national broadcast. I'll never understand the NBA and why they shoot themselves in the foot with their popularity. Like,
I mean, that's a topic we could.
Yes, I know. It's because TV markets, and neither of those teams are in huge TV markets.
They're not even in TV markets.
That's true. That's true. Dame Dalla is in every market though. And I'm kind of like, I'm not a Dame hater. I'm like a Dame lukewarmer.
Sure.
Dame in the regular season is like the best player to watch though.
He's fun. Hulu has more than live sports.
That's true.
The best rapper athlete ever. Yes.
John Cena. 15 time champ.
Cena's close.
16 time champ.
I did buy his first album. That's true. I physically walked into a Target and paid cash for that CD.
Let's talk about NBA All-Star selections here. See if we I think there's only really one topic here to disagree with. LeBron James, Jokic, Kawhi Leonard, Luka Doncic, Stephen Curry for the West. And then this is starter so far. In the East, KD, Giannis, Joel Embiid, Bradley Beal, first-time starter, Bradley Beal, about damn time he got one. And then Kyrie Irving. I actually kind of hate Kyrie getting in over. I actually kind of think James Harden should be in over Kyrie. The big one missing, though, is like Luka's great. He shouldn't be a starter. It should be Dame. That's really it. Like, Luka is definitely playing better, but Dame's team is better. by a lot.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. There's not really a conversation to have about it, right? It's been beat up all week by sports media. Like, yes, Dame should be in there instead of Luka, but they want Luka to be – Luka's younger, and he's the face of the league. He's going to start over Dame. That's yeah. It's politics.
We also all know that the All-Star game is like fan vote, right? Like, we know this is just a popularity contest.
It's fans, coaches, and players.
Yeah, but it's like mostly fans. Like, yes. Alex Caruso had a hell of a shot to make the All-Star game about
– Right, he should, and he should ago. Not.
No. But he's got a shot because the All-Star game doesn't really matter.
No, the only thing that matters about the All-Star game is that it is a nice accolade to have because you were at one point good enough and popular enough that players that fans really want to see you in a very long YMCA basketball game.
I would be so much happier if they voted on the All-Star game, the All-Star selections, made it, and then didn't play the game.
Oh, I love the game. I disagree with you. The game's a lot of fun for me.
Oh.
And here's why I think it's a lot of fun. I think the All-Star game is fun. Is it fun to see like LeBron James and Kevin Durant just be LeBron James and Kevin Durant? No. But it is fun to see your Bradley Beals, who play on shit teams, go out and actually get to play on a team with a bunch of other guys that are good at basketball and shoot open shots and, you know, look really good. It helps them sell jerseys. It helps them with endorsement deals. It helps them with a little bit of their own personal brand. This is good for the players and their personal branding kind of thing, because this is the most exposure they're going to get all season if you're on a crappy team. Or even like the Mavs, who will probably play for the playoffs. It's not like the Mavs draw all these insane ratings even with Luka on them. They don't even get a million viewers for half their games.
No. Yeah. I think the Mavs get more publicity from Shark Tank than they do for most of their own games.
And probably Mark Cuban just like dunking on politicians on Twitter, because that's kind of his MO lately.
He's been in rare form, man. I gotta say. Old Marky is coming out of the he's doing well.
I love Mark Cuban. Let's talk MVP and then we'll get out of here. Let me pull up the DraftKings odds actually here. But MVP race, last time you and I talked, what'd you say? I'm sorry.
I'm just saying, yeah, I haven't pulled up too.
Oh, you do have them pulled up. Well, what do we got the odds? You got them pulled up.
Yeah. So we've got LeBron, Embiid, Jokic, Doncic, and Giannis are the top five.
LeBron, Embiid, Jokic, and Doncic.
Yeah. Doncic. I don't know. Who cares?
Luka. Whatever. I have Steph as four.
Well, they're tied. The one I'm looking at, Giannis and Steph are tied.
Okay.
At plus 1,200.
I have, what book are you on?
We're going to go with your book. Doesn't matter.
Okay, that's what I figured. Yep. LeBron James is plus 140 to win, which is actually, here's the thing. I think I'm going to take a flyer on Embiid at plus 350.
You kind of have to. Oh, I pulled one up from 2 days ago. That's why it's different.
That makes sense. LeBron James plus 140, Joel Embiid plus 350, Nikola Jokic plus 500, Stephen Curry and Luka tied at plus 1300. I think it's going to come down to the big men and Steph. I think LeBron will finish like. The thing is, somebody made this argument with me on Twitter that the MVP award is almost always a makeup award. And like LeBron should have won it last year, and he might just get the award, assuming they're the one or two seed, because he should have won it last year. But the thing is, though, it has been so long. What did I say the other day? It's been since 2003, since Kevin Garnett won at the big man position. That's how long it's been that there's been a big man that was worthy of getting that. Shaq got screwed in one of those back-to-back Steve Nash years. Shaq and Kobe, yes.
What's the worst
back-to-back? I think Embiid has to get it. If they're the one seed, how do you not give it to Embiid?
I think it has to be Embiid as well. If he continues playing it this route.
They got to be a top two seed. They can't be a three. If they're the three seed, he's done. Like Jokic, the only reason Jokic isn't the favorite is because they may not be a top five. They might not have home court advantage.
Sure. Yeah. Right now they're a seven seed and they're fighting to make the playoffs, much less have home court advantage.
Right. Exactly.
I think they will. I think they're going to be fine. It's the Nuggets. They're good.
And especially when like Jamal Murray's dropping like 50 points like he did last night, like they'll figure it out.
I think Joel has to be the front runner for, like, he's doing stuff as a big man right now. And I think I'm with you. I think that LeBron is going to miss out on the MVP award again this year. And I think they're going to give it to Joel, especially if the Sixers fend off the Nets for the one seed. If the Sixers fend off the Nets for the one seed in the East, it is over. And Joel plays somewhat like he's playing right now.
Yeah.
I think it's almost a lock. You have to take a flyer on Joel. Like, you have to put money on Joel right now at plus odds. Those plus odds.
Plus 350. I mean, those are nice odds, and there's a real chance. I have Jokic. I put a future in for him at plus 1,000. I think those three, it's going to be between those three. If Steph somehow gets the Warriors to a top four seed, Steph will win the MVP.
I mean, and coming back too, like on a comeback year.
Right. They go from being the worst team in the NBA, maybe. Well, one of the worst teams in the NBA to a top four seed in the NBA. Like, Steph is going to steal that award from someone. But I don't think they will.
Well, but again, that goes kind of to the narrative. Like you're saying, if you want to write the narrative, I wasn't on the court and look where we were. Right. I am on the court and look where we are.
Right.
That's a hell of a narrative to be able to throw around.
If, like, the true definition is most valuable player is that they are the most valuable player in the league, meaning when they're not there, the team is terrible. And that is Steph Curry, technically.
They had the number one draft pick.
Correct.
And now they're fighting to be a four.
They had the two. They had the two.
The two. I'm sorry. They had the second draft pick, and now they're fighting to be a four seed in the West right now.
Right. Like, they're going to make the playoffs, which, by the way, not to brag, but Cam, I think we both said they would be a playoff team.
You know, I mean, I wasn't going to say anything, but
I think when people said that Steph was washed and they were bad, you and I maintained, like, no, they're going to fight for a playoff team. Kelly Oubre will figure it out.
Yeah, I think we did. And I mean, like, is that really that outside of the box to think that
it Steph was pretty played? Outside of the box? Yeah, it was pretty outside of the box.
Okay. Well, listen, if picking a Steph Curry team to make the playoffs is outside the box, then consider me living outside of it.
Guys, that's this week's episode of Hoop. There it is. I would talk about college basketball, but I think we can say this confidently. It is a two-team race.
Yes.
And there's not much to talk about.
It will be more interesting with Michigan, Ohio State this week.
Yes, that could be. That's 3-4.
That's the only. Yeah, that will be. If Michigan wins, that would make the conversation a little more interesting, but it would still be a two-team race. It would just be like, but what if?
Yep.
Yeah. Right now it's just a two-team race.
Sure. Yeah. I think, college basketball is going to be a lot of fun to talk about when March Madness comes around. We'll do some stuff. I think I'm planning on doing some live streams for that. So y'all pay attention. I think also while you guys are here, if you're listening on audio, please make sure to, check out the YouTube channel, go to youtube.com/shootingthesportsish. We're doing a lot more content. We're finally back into the content we were doing before the holidays. So the content's here again. We've got wrestling content every week now, wrestling pay-per-view reviews. We have, of course, Radio Techers. Cam has the Sports Summit, which is our catch-all show, getting a little bit of everything. And it's very good. There's three dudes on there. It's a lot of fun. They started with a little bit of breaking news a couple weeks ago with Tom Brady liking tequila, and you heard it here on Shooting the Sports-ish first. So you're welcome.
So good.
Yeah. You know, listen, Tom Brady turned face for me with it to getting drunk and being carried out of the bar.
And did Bill not turn more heel at the same exact time?
If this is like, who Brady was behind closed doors, was just being a frat boy getting hammered.
So pissed.
Like, what were him and Gronk just playing beer pong together till 4 a.m. and we never knew?
Like, is Brady just a more educated Gronk?
I actually kind of hate that. I kind of like how dumb Gronk is. It's kind of the sell for me.
I'm with Gronk on that part, but I'm saying, is Brady just the educated version of Gronk when they're in the same room? Like, are they just frat boys with shirts off that play beer pong and do tequila shots?
That's a good point. Maybe. Oh,
I'm so mad at Belichick for withholding this Brady from us for 20 years.
More takes like this on the Sports Summit on Shooting the Sports-ish out every Thursday. But guys, please make sure to give us a 5-star rating and review here down below. If you're listening on Apple, share the podcast out. We're starting to get some more listens here, and we appreciate you guys, all of y'all that are listening. We really do appreciate it. lots of content every day. For Cam, I'm Tony. Much love to you. Enjoy your Sunday tomorrow. Yeah. Goodbye.
Bye.